with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, Lord, just in total dependence upon you. Lord, knowing that you are our rock and our salvation. Lord, I just pray that today as we continue and, Lord, just looking at what it means to walk in intimacy and an intimate relationship with you, to pursue you, to be in your presence. Lord, help us today to really understand what it means to hear your voice. And Lord, to examine our own hearts and our lives, Lord, to examine if there are things in our life, Lord, that are obstacles to us hearing you today. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just point those things out, bring conviction where necessary. And Lord, may we just hear from you today. Lord, each one of us personally, may we hear the voice of the Savior. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you, if you want to turn to John chapter 10. Yeah, before we do that, did want to also give one additional announcement regarding the picnic today. The pool is closed. Sorry. Moan at that point, kids. Sorry. The pool is closed. They had to close it for a number of reasons, but it looks like it might be a little cold today for the pool as well, but I did want to communicate that. You know, just about 2 years ago, I started noticing some hearing loss in my right ear. And some of you may not be aware of that, but some of you may think, well, that's why he doesn't respond or something. I don't know. You know, I have about 30% hearing loss in my right ear. The doctors, I went through about a month worth of testing about 2 years ago, where they did the whole in the isolated room auditory test and then injections into my right eardrum to see if they could curb it. And yes, it was totally as unpleasant as it sounds. Pretty miserable experience. But you know, I didn't recover any of that. And so it's been something I've had to adjust to. I have a lot more sympathy for those who I've ministered to over the years who have struggles when it comes to hearing. I think it just seems like when you struggle with something, you are much more sympathetic to those who struggle with that as well. And I know many of you, whether it be age or other things, you've experienced some hearing loss. But, you know, some of the things that I found is in just my relationship with my wife is very early on, I found that instead of getting woken up to my alarm, I'd get woken up to an elbow because she'd hear the alarm. If I was sleeping on my good ear, I wouldn't hear it. And I always tried to keep my alarm soft. I picked the softest alarm I can just so it's not too distracting for her, waking her up. Didn't matter because she'd hear it. I'd sleep right through it. And it was a soft elbow, nothing permanent. But, you know, the other thing I found was when we're driving in the car, if the kids are in the back and we're trying to have a conversation that we don't want the kids to hear, so many parents have those type of conversations, it's almost impossible for me to do that now unless she's driving. Because it's my right ear. So it's an inconvenience. Not being able to hear well, even just out of one of my ears, has definitely caused inconvenience. You know, today we're going to be talking about hearing God's voice. And we've been talking over the last few weeks about what it means to walk in intimacy with God. We talked about, when we looked at Psalm 63, we looked at the importance of pursuing God and pursuing him with all of our hearts and desiring to just be thirsty for more of God in our lives. We looked at the importance of being in God's presence. We looked at Revelation chapter 2 and examining our first loves, our desires, and making sure that we're looking at those things in our life to see if there's something that we're pursuing that is keeping us from pursuing our first love in Christ. Last week, we looked at the importance of pursuing God's presence, being with him. And today, we're going to look at the idea of hearing God's voice. And it's such an important thing. When we know that we've heard God speak to us, it changes the relationship. There's a picture of intimacy in that type of relationship when you know that the creator of the universe has said something to you. It really is a game changer. And so if you're here today and you've never really sensed God speak to you, my prayer is, as we work through this, is that you hear God's voice even for the first time today. Because I believe that God's word is clear, that he desires that we all come into relationship with him through Jesus Christ, and that he is already pursuing us. When we talk about pursuing God, the reality is it's in response to the fact he pursued us and demonstrated his love to us. But some of you, it may be that you're in a dry spell. There are time in your life maybe that you remember hearing God's voice, and for some reason, you're just not sensing or hearing his voice today. And I encourage you today just to really do some soul searching, examining your own heart and your life. I heard the story by Bill Donahue. Bill Donahue is one of the guys that we used to train our small group leaders last spring. He talked about when his first ministry assignment, he was working with youth. And as he was working with the youth, it was a part-time assignment, and so he had a lot of other jobs and stuff. But one of the things he tried to do was get to know the families of the kids that were in his youth group. And one of the families of two of the kids, they raised sheep. So he decided to go and spend time with his family. And the children's father, who raised the sheep, he thought he'd teach Bill a lesson. And so he took him out on the field. It was later in the day, and he had to call the sheep in. And he said, "Bill, why don't you go ahead and call the sheep in?" And Bill said, "Okay." And he said, "What do I do?" And he said, "Well, just tell them, come on, sheep, it's time to come in." And so he said it. He said the words. He said, "Hey, sheep, come on in." No answer, no response. He said the sheep didn't even flinch. So the father, who's trying to teach him a lesson, and Bill didn't know this, said, "Well, think about everything they taught you in seminary. Use your diaphragm and really project and speak loudly." And so he said, "You need to tell him." He said, "Hey, sheep, come on in." Nothing. They didn't even flinch. So he went on and on. He said, "Well, maybe they're downwind of you, and you just got to go a little louder." And he just went on and on. And finally, he gave up in frustration. And the shepherd said, "You want me to do it? You want me to call them in?" And he said, "Yes." And so the shepherd basically voiced no louder, didn't have to project, didn't have to yell, said, "Hey, sheep, come on in." And all 25 sheep just turned and walked in to the pen. And you know, there was a point. He wasn't just trying to torment this young youth pastor. He was trying to teach him a lesson. And he said to him, he wanted him to understand something. He said, "Because you're teaching my children, and you need to forget." He asked him, don't they teach the Bible in seminary? He said, "Have you never read that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me?" And he said, "Now don't you ever forget this. You are the shepherd to my kids." You know, we, as a leader, I'm realizing, as God's been doing some new things in my own heart and life in the last few months, just how critical it is that I hear God's voice. If I'm going to be a shepherd, the whole idea of leadership that we take from the Bible is from that word of shepherding. And it's pastoral, but it's also, when we look at the model of Christ as shepherd, it gives us a model for leadership as well within the church. But you know, this is true for each one of us. If we are his sheep, we need to hear his voice, and we need to follow his lead. And before we look at the passage, just two things I want to explain to you that will help make sense of what we look at. You're going to hear a word called a sheepfold. It's not a word that we would understand. We don't understand shepherding, really. Just like Bill Donahue, and that's not Phil Donahue, it's Bill Donahue, for those who didn't hear that. I always have to clarify that. But you know, he explains that the sheepfold it could be a lot of different things. Sometimes they would use a cave. Sometimes it would be next to a building, like a wall of a city, where they would build an enclosure. But it was basically a place to keep the sheep safe, where shepherds, many different shepherds, would come. They would leave their sheep at night, and there'd be a hired hand who would wait at the gate, wait at the door, to watch the sheep until the shepherd would return to take them out to pasture. And I think for most of us, when I think about shepherding, I think of the movie Babe from about 15 years ago. Remember the sheep pig? We kind of look at, yeah, sorry. I had kids. They were young at that age, so we were watching Babe a lot. But you know, that picture of the dogs driving the sheep and directing them is very different than the picture that Jesus would have been talking about, and the image that anyone that heard Jesus would have understood. They would have understood that when the shepherd came to that gate, he would come and he would call each of the sheep by name, and they would recognize, the sheep that were his would recognize his name, and they would leave and go out to pasture with the shepherd. And so they could have multiple sheep from multiple shepherds in the same area, but when the shepherd would call, only his sheep would come and follow. So it's important that we have that in our understanding. It's kind of a different frame than the idea of herding. We're not herding sheep. The shepherd would follow, would speak, they would follow his voice. Let's look at John 10. We're going to read verses 1 through 16. And just a word of explanation, too. I am starting to preach from the ESV. The Bible Quizzers have made that transition to the ESV version. That's something that happened nationally. We're not able to purchase the version that we have in the pew anymore, the NIV. That the old NIV version has been, they're not printing it. So this is something that I have normally have done my study in the ESV and translated to the NIV. So if that's a struggle, if you have questions about the ESV translation, talk to me. I think to be consistent with our kids in the Bible quizzing, as well as the fact that it's a good translation. I just wanted to explain why I'm preaching from the ESV. Again, John 10:1-18. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his sheep by name and leads them out. When he had brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own knows me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And I also have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, it's our desire, Lord, to not only look at your word for understanding, but Lord, we desire even in this moment to hear your voice. Lord, to celebrate what you have done in sending your son Jesus to be that good shepherd, to willingly lay down his life that we might be restored and in relationship with you. But Lord, I just pray that today for anyone here that maybe has never heard Jesus call them by name, Lord, that even today that they would hear your voice. But Lord, I pray for each of us, Lord, that we would examine our hearts and our lives and be honest about whether or not we're truly hearing the voice of our shepherd. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, John chapter 10, there's a ton going on in this verse. We could take weeks to look at John chapter 10. Some of the things that you might look at are the fact that Jesus is presented in two ways. Primarily, he's presented as the great shepherd and the good shepherd, the one who would lead us, the one who leads us and delivers us as a picture of salvation, a picture of Christ as not only our Savior, but also as our Lord, the one who leads us each day. But we also see Jesus in some of the words we just read, that Jesus illustrated himself as the door. And the kind of reflection of John 14:6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus presents himself as the shepherd, but also as the door for the sheep. Jesus also, again, if you read throughout chapter 10, you're going to see him again and again say these words, that he lays his life down for the sheep. And later in the chapter, he even emphasizes the fact that no one takes his life, but he voluntarily lays down his life for his sheep. We also see in this chapter that when we follow the shepherd, we are secure in his hands. Today, though, I want us to focus on a theme that I think really stands out in verses 3 through 4. It's repeated a couple other places, but we're going to look mainly at chapter 10, verses 3 through 4, and also verse 27. Because I think these verses give us a picture of the intimacy between the sheep and the shepherd. And again, that's something we don't necessarily see in the typical picture of what we understand of how we're going to herd cattle. That picture of how the shepherd knows each of the sheep by name and that they hear his voice and they follow him. It's a picture of intimacy. It's a picture of relationship. They know one another. And so I want us to look at these verses, and I'd like to highlight just a few of the things that these verses teach us, and then talk about some specifics and some practical things about what it means to really hear from God, to hear God's voice. John 10, 3 through 4 says, "To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes out before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Now, verse 27, and I don't know if it can be seen. I need to underline or something. The bold doesn't really stand out. I tried to highlight some of the key words there in both 3 through 4, but then in verse 27 it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." It's not on the screen, but the next verse goes on and says, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." You know, there's some consistent things in those verses that the shepherd is telling us. What God is telling us about the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd that are critical for us to really understand the type of relationship that Christ wants each of us to have with him. He's inviting us to an intimate relationship. And the first thing we see is that the sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice, they understand. Just like Donahue experienced, that he could yell all he wanted, but the sheep did not recognize his voice. But when the correct shepherd spoke and called the sheep in, they heard and they followed because they knew him. They hear his voice and they recognize his voice. John 10, 5 and then John 10:8 tells us this. It says, "A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." In verse 8, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." Jesus, a lot of what Jesus is doing here is highlighting the fact that he truly is the Messiah, that he truly is the one who has come to guide the people into truth. And that the other religious leaders were leading the people astray, where Jesus himself is the good shepherd. He is the door. He is the key. He is the only way, truth, and life for any one of us to enter into relationship with God. So we know that the sheep hear his voice, but it also says, and we see in these verses, that the sheep are known by the shepherd. It's not just that the sheep hear, but there's a relationship. They're known by the shepherd. One of the things we see is that he calls them by name, and they know his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he is brought out of his own, or when he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Think about that for a moment. Think about that incredible truth to know that the shepherd knows each sheep by name. You know, I could tell you in this moment that I know Ben Roethlisberger. I could tell you that. It's not true. But if I told you that, I could tell you that, and you could think, oh, that's really, really impressive. Or you could say, no, he doesn't. But what if Ben came in and sat down on a Sunday morning? Some of you might be thinking, well, maybe he does. Or maybe it's just a coincidence that Ben's sitting down here. But what if Ben came in and said, hey, Pastor Doug, you would know that there's a relationship. Totally a fictitious relationship for this sermon illustration. Not true. I'll be rooting for him today, but you know, when someone calls someone by name, it's a recognition that they know them, that there's a relationship. And I know I've had to ask for forgiveness, especially some of you that are newer to the church, because I can be horrible with names, which is not a good thing for a pastor. And so I've had to really work at that. But you know, to know that Jesus knows us by name and he calls us by name is a picture of the type of intimate relationship that Christ wants with each one of us. I want to ask you, have you heard him call your name? Not just once, but have you heard him call your name in your private and quiet times with him? Jesus goes on later in this chapter, though, to also describe this intimate knowledge and intimate relationship and the fact that the sheep are known by the shepherd. In comparing his relationship, the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, he compares it to the relationship that he has with the Heavenly Father. Verse 14 through 15 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I laid my life down for the sheep. Jesus, throughout the book of John, we see Jesus describing this intimate relationship between the Father, his Heavenly Father, and the Son. And really gives us a picture of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which reminds us of God's desire for intimate relationship, because we see it in the Trinity. We see it in the Godhead. We see that in God himself and who he is, it's relationship, it's intimate relationship. Jesus said he didn't do anything that he didn't see or hear the Father doing and telling him to do. And he now tells us that we as his sheep can enter into that type of relationship with him. That in the same way that the Father relates to the Son, we can enter into relationship and know that we are known by our shepherd. But the third thing we see in this passage, and this is so critical that I think often people forget today, is that it's not just enough to hear him speak and to know that he wants us to be in relationship with him, but when we hear him speak, what are we to do about it? We're to follow. You're a step ahead of me. The screen helps, but we have to follow. We have to follow. When we know God has spoken to us, whether it's something directly from his word or whether we hear that quiet voice, still small voice within our heart, we know that if God speaks to us, we need to be obedient and we need to follow. And I think it's such a critical part of really beginning to train your ear to hear better, is that when you hear God speak and you know he has spoken, that you act on it immediately. You know, I talk to my kids sometimes that the issue is not that they're being disobedient, they're just delaying their obedience. There's a difference there, but the reality is it's still disobedience. And I want to encourage you to think about that. If God has put something on your heart in your life, he's told you something that is something that he wants you to do, if you want to train your ear to hear God's voice, be obedient to what you know. If God has spoken to you, be obedient to what you know, and you'll begin to hear him more. You know, some of you remember Paul Harvey. Some of the kids may not remember Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey always had some great stories, and he shares a story that was from the BBC News clear back. This had to be late in his career. Back in 2003, he shared the story of a BBC reporter who was in Uganda, and a dispute had broken out, and one of the big problems in Uganda was cattle wrestling, and they would steal each other's cattle, and there was no way to really prove it as to who the cattle really belonged to. And this BBC reporter, though, witnessed an elderly woman who had just a few cows, and was in dispute over this guy who had taken her cows, and there was no way for her. She had no paperwork, had no brand on the cow to be able to prove that it was hers. But this BBC reporter was just amazed in the moment when the woman was given a chance to just come and quietly speak the name of each of her cows. And when she said each name, the cow lifted his head and walked out of the herd of cattle, who didn't grow up on the farm. Sorry. Jana's with the preschoolers today. She did have more farm experience growing up, so glad you don't tell her that. But you know, that picture, though, is so relevant today. I mean, it's not just an issue of sheep. There you have these cattle that knew this elderly woman's voice. And she could call them by name because she had a relationship with them. They knew one another. You know, we are invited into an intimate relationship with God. And these verses remind us that not only are we known by Jesus, our great shepherd, but he calls us each by name. And when we hear his voice, we're to follow him. When I ask you, are you following him today? Are you hearing his voice on a regular basis? If you're here today and you've never heard the voice of God in your life, or you've never surrendered your life to follow Christ, it's my prayer, even in this moment, that God's Spirit would speak to you. What I say is not as important as God's Spirit speaking to your heart and you hearing the Savior call your name. You know, but for every one of us, he doesn't just call us so that we hear his name and that we can get our foot in the door and be saved. That's just the beginning of an intimate relationship. And he invites us to be in relationship with him where we are hearing his voice daily. that we're spending time in His Word and that we're hearing His voice and walking in obedience and following Him. You know, some of the things that we look at, if we just take a step back and say, well, how do we really hear from God? How do we hear God's voice? Some of the things that we, if you look in the next screen, this is a very quick list. We could take a lot of time in this. I'm just going to kind of quickly go through this. But if you look at church history, as you look throughout the scriptures, we know that God speaks to each of us in different ways. But some of the key things that we see throughout scripture and in church history and church experience and Christians' experience for the last 2,000 years is that God will often speak to us through other people in Christian community. You know, I think this is so critical because sometimes I've seen people go off the deep end where they thought they heard God's voice and they never checked it with another believer. And they never checked to say, is this consistent with God's word? Does this seem to make sense? And go to another believer that you know hears God's voice to kind of check that thing with them. It's critical for each of us to understand that God will sometimes speak through another follower of Christ. And God will use them. And God will use you to speak to someone else. God will often speak to us through events or circumstances. Sometimes we refer to that as the open and closed doors. God will open up a door, or sometimes He'll close that door, and we have to make a choice when it comes to a career or a choice in what it is that we're going to do with the next year of our life or a lot of different things. God, often we use the events and circumstances in our experience to speak to us. We know through the prophet Joel, and throughout the New Testament as well, that God will sometimes speak in dreams and visions. Joel 2:28-29 says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and the female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit." This is a reference to the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost and the birth of the church. And that in that, it says, there'll be people that'll be dreaming dreams and people will have visions. And these are ways that God will speak. Sometimes, and I've had this in my own experience, sometimes we just know. It's not that we heard a word. It's not that we even had something come from Scripture. It's just that we have a peace about something. And we know that God has given us a peace about a certain situation or a certain thing. Throughout Scripture, we see, and in many of you I know I've asked you in recent weeks, some of you have experienced the audible voice where God spoke clearly. I've had that a few times in my life where it was a clear, audible voice. It's not as frequent, though, as the next one, that still small voice, that whisper. 1 Kings 19:11-12, this is a picture of Elijah. It says in verse 11, "And he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper." Some of the translations would refer to that as that still, small voice. If I ask for a show of hands, I'm sure many of you have experienced this. You've experienced just that quiet voice. I like what Dick Eastman, he's a pastor and writer, founded a prayer ministry. He wrote some resources to help kids understand what this meant. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when things are explained for children, that helps me as an adult. So I want to read his words. He's talking about how we hear God in this way. He says, here's an example. I can point to the sky and say out loud, the sky is blue. But I also can close my eyes and say silently in my mind, the sky is blue. To me, the words said in my mind are just as clear as those spoken out aloud. They are real words. And even though my ears can't hear them, when we hear like this from God, it's called the still, small voice of God. I think if you're here and you're really pursuing and wanting to hear that audible voice, it's not ours to control. We just have to quiet our hearts to listen. And more often than not, God will, like Elijah, reveal himself in that quiet whisper, that still, small voice. You know, in the last year or two, as I've been trying to train myself to hear God's voice better, and really have more intentional time of not just me talking, but me listening. what I found is that God doesn't typically, when he speaks to me in those ways, it's usually not about big earth-shattering stuff that anyone else would be important to anyone else. Often it's things about my identity in Christ and my relationship with him. And I don't want to go too deep into this. Over the next few months, you might hear more of this story. But, you know, over the last couple of years, I'd have these quiet times with God, and I would just hear him again and again, to the point it was getting annoying, that I would just hear God say, "I just want your heart." Because I would just, I'm strategy. I'm always going to God saying, "Okay, what next? What am I supposed to do?" And I just kept hearing God say, "I just want your heart." And there's a part of me that it was frustrating, because I'm like, "God, I want more than that." And yet, as God has begun to do some new things in my heart, in my life, to where the words of that hymn that we sang, "I'd rather have Jesus," mean so much more, that I understand God was speaking to me in those moments. In recent months, God has given me a new word and telling me that I'm his precious child. It's not based on performance. It's not based on success. It's not based on all the things that we do. This is God speaking to my heart right now, that I'm his precious child. You know, you may hear that and say, "Well, that's not earth-shattering. It's right from Scripture. I can show that." There's something different when you hear that still small voice and God speaks to your heart. And you know God is trying to say something to you that will transform you and heal you and bring you into right relationship with him. You know, one of the things, though, and it's important and most important, and the last thing on the list, and everything that we hear from God always needs to be checked by his word. But God speaks to us through his word. God consistently speaks to us through his word. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you, Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." God says in that verse clearly, and we see it throughout Scripture, that he desires to speak to his people. He desires to talk to us. He desires to speak and have those intimate conversations with us. But when God speaks, it will always be consistent with his word. You know, that's where some of the groups that have gotten off the deep end they've not only checked themselves in Christian community and with church history and how Christians for 2,000 years have interpreted the text, but often it's just that people will hear something and they go with it without checking God's word itself. But, you know, it's important that we understand that God has spoken. One of my favorite books, there were a lot of books I had to read years ago for ordination, but one of my favorite books that I read, some of you know the author J.I. Packer wrote the book Knowing God. He wrote a follow-up to that, and it was one of our requirements. It was called God Has Spoken. And the whole book was about God's revelation in the Word. And I love the title of that book, to realize when we open up God's Word, we're opening up God's Word to us, that God has spoken. He wants to reveal who he is and how we can have a relationship with him. But, you know, it's also important to understand that through his word, God is still speaking. God has spoken, and that's why we revere God's word as his word. It's his word for us, and we need to be in it daily to know what he has said. And if you really want to know if something's from God or not, the more you're in his word, the more you know his voice, know what he has already said, the more consistent you'll have an understanding of what God says to you when you hear that still small voice. God invites us to get into his word, to hear his voice. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints of marrow, of discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." I like what A.W. Tozer said in The Pursuit of God. He says, "I think that a new world would arise out of the religious myths when we approach the Bible with the idea that it is not only a book which was once spoken, but is a book which is now speaking." God desires to speak to us through his word. Tozer goes on to say, if you would follow on to know the Lord, come at once to open the Bible, expecting it to speak to you. Do not come with a notion that it is a thing which you may push around at your convenience. It is more than a thing. It is a voice, a word, the very word of the living God. God has given us his word, and how often do we leave it on the shelf? He invites us to open up his word, and I encourage you, if you don't already make this a practice, when you open up the Bible to read, pause for a second and ask God's Spirit to speak to you. And read until something comes out clearly in his word that you know is God's word for you that day. Most often, this is the most consistent way that God speaks, I believe, to most believers, is that he puts a verse on your mind as you're reading that just connects with what you're going through in your life experience or helps you understand. I remember years ago, I was preparing many years ago for my first move into ministry. And God gave me a clear picture. He just kept emblazing in my mind this idea of God or of the king being the Lord's anointed in 1 and 2 Samuel. And without going into a lot of detail, it prepared me for an experience that I was about to have in the coming year that I didn't really understand at the time. God will give you words from the word about your current experience, but he'll sometimes prepare your heart for something to come. But, you know, there can be obstacles. And in the coming weeks, we're going to dive into this a lot more deeply, but I just want to quickly read these. Some of the obstacles, if you look in the next slide, if it comes up, I'm just going to keep reading. Some of the obstacles that we experience in our own life, that the scripture will show us, it shows us clearly that can be obstacles to us hearing from God, is one, unconfessed sin. And that can be that disobedience of not doing something we need to be doing, or it could be something that we're doing that we know is out of bounds, that we know it's out of God's plan for us. 1 John 1:6-7 says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Goes on to promise us, and if you're here and you know there's unconfessed sin in your life or just some sin that you're not letting go of and you think that might be keeping you from hearing from God, know that there's a promise that comes up that Christ is willing to forgive us. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the things I think is so key today, though, is that one of the reasons we don't hear God's voice is busyness. And sometimes some of that's out of our control, but a lot of it is in our control. Sometimes we plan our calendar so full of stuff that we don't have time to quietly sit and hear from God. And our busyness can be something that can destroy our soul. And if you're here, and probably in our culture, this is something we celebrate, busyness. We put people that are busy up and say they're important. So busyness equals importance. If you're so busy that you don't have times to hear from God, I encourage you to put on the brakes. One of the things is the noise in our life. Sometimes we don't turn off the TV. We don't turn off the media. We don't turn off this track that we replay in our mind of these things that we think and we believe, and we don't quiet our hearts and our minds before God. We have to turn off the noise. Lack of time in God's word. If we're not opening up God's word, it's no wonder, no surprise that we're not hearing him. God invites us to open up his word, to study his word, to know not only that he has spoken, but let him speak to us through his word. And this is the hardest thing, I think, for most of us, one-sided conversations in prayer. I want to ask you, have you ever had a conversation with someone where they did 99% of the talking or more? Did you enjoy that conversation? Not only is it not pleasant for you, but you're totally missing the opportunity to really know that person. That person's missing the opportunity to really know you, and because they're doing all the talking. When we go to God and we just open up our laundry list and our prayer list, and we just say, God this, God this, God this, help me with this, help me with this, amen. What are we missing there? It's a one-sided conversation. Prayer, we say it all the time, prayer is conversation, and yet everything we focus on, typically in our prayer, is intercession and us talking to God, very little with us quieting our hearts and us listening to him. What we need, next slide, what we need is Psalm 46:10, this great reminder. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. we need to be intentional to practice silence. And that can be hard with kids. That means you might have to get up a little early, put them to bed a little early. Whatever you need to do, find some way to have some times of silence and solitude. Silence is quietness. Solitude is where you're alone. That you're not always, some of you, the idea of being alone is a scary thing, but it's critical for every one of us. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, we all need time alone with God in solitude. And along with that is waiting. Because sometimes we won't hear God's voice right away, but we need to continue in silence, continue in solitude, and wait and trust that God will speak to us and into our situation. I want to leave you with a couple questions. Closing questions on the last slide here. Are you hearing God's voice? Are you regularly hearing His voice? Right, some of you may think, well, I heard it once, and you've been relying on the fact that you heard God speak years ago. I want to encourage you to pursue Him, wait upon Him, silence and solitude, be in His presence, longing for Him to speak. If God has spoken to you, are you following? Are you walking in obedience? And this is something I think every one of us has an answer to this question. What is the biggest obstacle in your life keeping you from hearing God's voice? Is it busyness? Sin? One-sided prayer? This week, I want you to, before you leave today, I want you to think and ask, answer this question. When will you practice silence and solitude this week? When in this week will you turn off the radio, do something? Some of you may have a long commute. You can turn the radio off. Make that a time of prayer. Don't have to close your eyes. That's for all of us. Have times in your life where you turn off the noise, quiet your heart, and listen. God wants to speak to each of us. He wants to be our shepherd and lead us, and yet if our ears are deaf to hearing Him, we're missing the opportunity to really follow Him as His sheep. I want to close with a brief quote from Dallas Willard from his book, The Divine Conspiracy. When he's talking about the importance of following Christ as our shepherd, he makes this very short statement, but it's a profound statement. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd is written on many more tombstones than lives. The Lord is my shepherd is written on many more tombstones than lives. Is the Lord is my shepherd written on your life and how you live your life each day? Are you longing to hear from Him? When you hear Him, are you walking in obedience and following Him? Have you heard Him call you by name, and are you walking, following after your shepherd?" Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for Your word. Lord, to know that You chose to reveal Yourself that we might have a relationship with You. You've given us a picture, Lord, of who You are in Your holiness, in Your power, Your majesty, and Your grace. Lord, You've made the way in sending Your Son Jesus for us to not only hear Him call us by name, but Lord, that we can put our trust in what Christ did upon the cross for each of us. Lord, we can receive the forgiveness, Lord, that He offers us so freely. And Lord, we can surrender our lives to follow Him truly as our shepherd, as the one who saves us, who protects us, who keeps us, but also who leads us as we follow. Lord, I just pray that even in these final moments, as the worship team comes to lead us in song, Lord, just that Your Holy Spirit would be free to speak. And Lord, that we would set aside time this week, Lord, extra time if we're already doing it, for silence and solitude and really just hearing from You. And Lord, may our hearts and our lives be changed, knowing that we've not only been in Your presence, but Lord, we've heard Your voice. And we know that You desire, Lord, to call us by name and to have us walk in intimacy with You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.